Welcome to the Hoodoo and Chill Podcast, the number one hoodoo and spirituality-based podcast bringing awareness to African-American spirituality in a wide range of thought-provoking topics. I am Papa Seer, your host, your narrator, and your storyteller. Before the show begins, make sure you're subscribed or following the show so you don't miss out on any episodes. And as always, donations of love keep our podcast alive and give us the ability to upgrade the show, enhance our content, and most importantly, do what we love. You can use any link in the description to send your donation of love today. Now, let's start the show. Good evening and grand rising. I am Papa Seer and I am here with an amazing episode of the Hoodoo and Chill podcast live tonight. I have really been excited about doing this new thing on YouTube, which is I really love. So expect me to do more on YouTube. But first and foremost, I just want to say a big old grand evening to my HCR family, to all of my students, all of my mentees, all of my godchildren. Thank you all so much for your love and support. And you are all the nucleus and the blood that keeps Hoodoo Conjure Root Work, the club, HCR Gold alive. And I thank you all so much for everything that you do. Also, I wanted to just give a big hi and hello to everyone who tuned in and spent midnight overnight with me. We did an overnight ritual over the weekend, this past weekend. It wasn't invoking your spirit guides virtual. It was amazing. And I just want to just give a big shout out to all of the people that decided to tune in, all of the people who came out and just showed their love and support. I mean, that was probably one of the best classes that I've ever done. A lot of people were able to connect with their guides, and just the stories that I received that people were able to connect with different types of spirit guides through the meditation that we did. It was so amazing. So I really do appreciate each and every last one of you for coming out. I'm also looking forward to everyone who has signed up for our 8-week course coming up on initiation into spiritism, also as well as advanced spiritual work and advanced spiritism. It's an 8-week course, so I look forward to everyone that's already signed up. If you yourself are interested in initiating yourself into the realm of spiritism, as well as a little bit of hoodoo, conjure, and root work associated with it as well, please go to the hoodooconjurerootwork.com website so that you yourself can be a part of that. And I really do appreciate everyone who has already signed up, and I look forward to fellowshipping with you in the future as it relates to our 8-week course that is coming up. So tonight is a special episode. I didn't even plan this out. I'm gonna be honest with you guys. Like, this was an episode that kind of just triggered me. I was doing research for something totally different. Like, I'm literally was doing research to do a podcast on a story revolving around one of Harriet Tubman's nieces and how she was able to get free, her husband and her children. Okay, now this is a true story that takes place in Cambridge, Maryland. And as I'm doing my research on this particular story, I happened to stumble upon another story that really just pulled at my heart for some reason. It was almost as if I could like feel the spirit of this particular ancestor telling me like, hey, before you tell this story, do you mind telling mine? I mean, and even historically, her story transpired before the rescue of Harriet Tubman's niece, and I will podcast on that in the future. However, tonight we are focused on Miss Henny, aka Bloody Henny, as the legend or folklore goes in Cambridge, Maryland. So before I even get into all about who Bloody Henny was and all of that, I want to continue, you know, just talking about my story and my experience, just even coming into contact with this information, to be honest with you, right? And it does trigger, I guess, maybe the beginning portion of my show tonight. But you know what Spirit told me before I came on air tonight? Spirit said, you know what, sometimes you have to be triggered to do the right thing. That really does resonate with us. Sometimes you just have to be triggered to do the right thing. back to my story, right? I'm doing this research and I come across this story on Bloody Henny. So naturally I go to my best friend Google. You know, I want to find out more things about her and, you know, just do my whole nine research because I'm curious. And the first video, well, really the only video that I could find that was worth anything was a video put out by a Caucasian woman on Bloody Henny, right? Or Miss Henny. I'm going to call her Miss Henny tonight. I don't want to call her Bloody Henny. I want to call her Miss Henny. I want to give her some empathy tonight. I don't think anyone's given Henny any empathy. So I want to give Miss Henny some empathy tonight. Blessed is your spirit. May it rest in peace, right? So I come across this video and I think this is what really got me mad. This is what really triggered me. I'm going to show you guys this video. And for those of you that are listening on the regular podcast, Apple, Spotify, I'm going to make sure that I upload the audio for you to hear it and enjoy it as well. So before we get to that, right, for those of you that are watching tonight, I want you to really just like pay attention to this woman's tone, her calmness, the look in her eyes, just how cool, calm, and collected she is with just like telling this story, with basically just telling the story of this tragedy, right? I really want you guys to just pay attention to her body language, her tone of voice, but also listen to the things that she's saying about what transpired in this woman's life. And what triggered me about it, what I was just like, you told this story in 2 minutes and like, there's no emotion at all. And this is a story that's full of emotion. And I feel like you guys are trying to protect each other instead of really just like putting it out there about like what really happened with this woman, what really transpired. And it's so sad, right? Because I couldn't find any information put out about this woman from Black people, which really blew my mind, because you would think in a city where Harriet Tubman was born, in an area where Harriet Tubman did a lot of her works, you know, where her family was from and stuff like that, you would think that this woman's story would have found, I don't know, the audio of someone's podcast, a Black person's video podcast or something like that, but I found nothing on it. Hopefully maybe I can run into it into a book, you know. So maybe I'm speaking too soon because I haven't really done my book research on her. But back to what I'm saying, the information that's readily available, it's not by people of color. And it just bothered me because I just think that stories like this, like when people of color don't tell these stories, they get twisted and they're told with such a lack of empathy. Such a lack of empathy. And I don't know, that just really bothers me. It really does bother me. I don't like it. And I felt like it was my duty to utilize my platform to tell this story in a different way, to maybe give the world, whomever will run into this video or listen to the podcast on air, a different version, or not a different version, but just a different way of looking at it. Because I think all of the information that is readily available is very biased. So for tonight's show, basically what I'm going to do, first, I'm going to show you guys the video, or if you're listening to the audio, you'll hear the video. And then the next thing that I'm going to do is I'm actually going to read to you an article, the only article that's actually available from 1904. Someone actually wrote about the details of this case, of this story of what happened. This is a true story. This is not folklore. Okay. The folklore is about her spirit inhabiting the courthouse, and we'll get into that later, but this is true event. So for those of you watching, you might want to pour yourself a drink, you might want to get yourself like a little glass of wine or something, glass of water, Florida water, I don't know, because this might trigger you slightly. So I'm just going to go ahead and put that trigger warning out there to the audience that like, you might want to make sure that you're in a comfortable place when you're listening to this or watching this tonight. And shout out to everyone that is listening to me. So without further ado, let us play the video that triggered this entire episode. The Hoodoo and Chill podcast will return after this short ad break. Why make another major decision without knowing the outcome beforehand? Would you like to know where your relationship is headed or what the future holds in store for you? My name is Papa Seer, and I want to assist you in making all the right decisions so that you, yes you, may live your best life. Are you seeking a new career? Does your love life need insight? Or maybe you want to connect with your ancestors or past loved ones? The realm of divination holds all the answers to your fortune.
allow me to use some of my abilities, bone reading, cartomancy, tarot, and mediumship to uncover the answers to your future. Go to hoodooconjurerootwork.com under classes and services to book your appointment today. Your spirit guides are waiting to speak with you. That's hoodooconjurerootwork.com to uncover your destiny today.
Hi, I'm Mindy Burgoyne, and this is your Haunted Minute, and I'm here at the Dorchester County Courthouse. And right beside the courthouse is this park area. And years ago, it was known as Spring Valley, and it was the place where they had the slave auction block. It was a place where they did public punishment, like the stocks and the pillories and the whipping post. And it was also the place of executions. There's a famous execution here that left the place haunted, and that was the execution of Bloody Henny. Henny Inslee was an African slave who worked on a farm in Vienna, owned by the Inslee family. And as she tells it, one morning, when she was eating her breakfast, she complained that she didn't get a sausage on her plate. Mr. Inslee was furious that she'd be so insolent as to complain, and so he beat her profusely. And after the beating, Henny looked at him and said, "You know, you'll be sorry you did that." He didn't care. Then later in the day, when she was helping Mrs. Inslee with the wash, which is basically stirring a humongous kettle of boiling lye, stirring the clothes that are in it, Henny pulled out a sausage from her pocket, and she dropped it in the boiling lye. And Mrs. Inslee scolded her, saying she'd contaminated the wash water. And Henny didn't care. She picked up a quart cup, scooped up boiling lye in it, and threw it in Mrs. Inslee's face, blinding her and scalding her. And while Mrs. Inslee was writhing in pain, Henny went to the woodpile and got an axe, came in and hacked Mrs. Inslee to death. It was a terrible scene. So naturally, she was convicted to hang, and she did. She hanged right here behind me. All they did was take a crossbeam and put it on two poles. They tied one end of a rope around the pole, and then they put Henny on an ox cart below it and tied the other end around her neck. And then they just led the ox away with feet, so she had a long, slow, dangling death. It was horrible, as any execution is. But what they say about it? People for years afterwards said when you walked by Spring Valley at night, like at the witching hour when nobody was here and there was no noise, sometimes you could hear the swing of that rope, just going back and forth on that pole. But others said they could hear what sounded like children whispering or almost singing. What did they hang you for, Bloody Henny? What did they hang you for, Bloody Henny?
Okay, so I'm cringing right now. I'm calm down. I'm podcasting. I'm literally cringing right now because it just burns me up. But wait until I read you guys this article. It's going to get even worse. Like when you hear this article tonight, you're going to be even more triggered. Why did that video just set me off? Did you just hear what you just said out of your mouth? Like, did you really just hear what you... Let's run this back. You just told a story about a grown woman who was being trafficked. We're talking about human trafficking. Okay, now, the downside of this whole thing is that this is like an attraction, basically. Like, you can go to Cambridge, Maryland, and this is like a spooky attraction. You guys know me. I'm from Virginia. I'm from Richmond, Virginia. And unfortunately, like, we have stuff like this, too. Like, our African burial site is like a spooky attraction, believe it or not, on some of those. You know, like you can walk around late at night and stuff like that, and they'll take you on like a haunted tour. Like, we have literally multiple African burial sites in Richmond, Virginia. But there's this one particular one that's like in the Shaco Bottom area, and it's huge. It's humongous. There's a lot of bodies there. And it's like some type of spooky attraction at night, you know? Very similar to what you see here. And this is why I got triggered, because I'm just like, this is this woman's life. This is real life story. Like, this is the woman who was being human trafficked. She was hungry. Let's not try to sugarcoat it. She didn't ask for a sausage because she was being an insubordinate slave, because there's no such thing as an insubordinate slave. No one should be enslaved. There is no such thing as being insubordinate as a slave. That's called, I'm resisting you enslaving me. I am resisting me as a human being trafficked and abused by another human being. There is no such thing as being insubordinate as a slave, okay? Insubordination happens when there is a conceptual contract, an agreement between two peoples, i.e. you sign the contract that you accept a job offer with certain duties that you're going to do with certain people that are going to be in charge of you. You conceptually agree to that, and you get on the job. And you refuse to do what you signed up to do. You refuse to adhere to the instructions of your subordinates. You refuse to adhere to the instructions of your bosses, your supervisors, whatever. This is where insubordination is applicable. Okay? When you take advantage of my life and you are trafficking me, and that's, you know, just out of every kind of balance of humanity, there's no such thing as insubordination, right? That doesn't apply. Before I move forward and we get into this, you know, the article, I want you all to really just think about what hunger does to you. We have all heard the term, I'm hangry. You're hungry and angry at the same time, because hunger really does affect people in a lot of different ways. Hunger affects your mental health. Seriously, you will have temporary insanity. You will start having hallucinations, all kinds of stuff. I mean, even in the Bible, Jesus talks about his fast of like, 40 days and 40 nights, and then how he started having hallucinations of the devil and all kinds of stuff like that. And just he wasn't in the best state of mind because he was hungry. So I sit back and I think about this woman who asks for food in the morning time because. And we have to think about the time of day that she asks for food. She didn't ask for extra food at night. She asked for food in the morning so she could have enough strength and energy to do her job duties. This story doesn't even talk about as if this family owned other slaves. From my theory, I think she was probably the only one. You guys have to remember that this is up north. This is like in Maryland. Slavery was a lot different. It wasn't like in the Deep South where you had plantations of hundreds of slaves. It was sometimes people would only own like one or two, you know? And my theory is that this was a situation where she was more like a house servant, a house slave, and she probably was taken on the load by herself, right? And you guys aren't feeding her properly, because if you were, why would she ask for food? You know, this is a slave. I'm pretty sure she's used to being told no. I'm pretty sure she's used to not getting things that she wants, that, you know, she's never experienced freedom in her entire life. But this one particular morning, she's so hungry and she has a lot of things to do. She asks for sausage or whatever it is that you guys were eating. You guys say it was sausage. Who's to say? It could have been bread. I don't know. I feel like I don't even think it was sausage. I never even heard of a slave getting fed sausage before. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm doing too much right now. Maybe it's me. But my spirit say it probably wasn't even sausage. She probably wanted bread or something like that. And what happened was the master beat her. Can we just, I mean, before we even go further, like the mindset of a person like that. Very rarely will y'all hear me talking just like trying to badmouth white people and stuff like that. I'm not that type. However, I'm going to speak up when I need to speak up, and I'm going to speak up when I feel like I need to say something. I don't have no problem with white people, but y'all do this thing where y'all take up for each other. And I'm even saying this to some of my white friends that I love. Y'all do it. Y'all take up for each other unsubconsciously and downplay things that have happened to black people because it makes you feel better. Or if it doesn't make you feel better, it's an easier pill for you to swallow about things that your ancestors did. And for those of y'all that want to be into hoodoo and into, you know, all the other African spiritualities, this is something that you really need to hear me on and work on, because I'm like, I don't badmouth white people, but I'm going to call y'all out when you need to be called out on this. And this is one thing that I do see. I'm going to keep it real tonight. Even her in this whole little 2-minute speech that she did on something that really deserved a lot more time and a lot more theory and a lot more theology, she just kind of broke it down that this was an insubordinate slave. She wasn't doing what she was told. How dare she ask for a sausage? What? How dare she ask for a sausage? And then the man beat her after asking for food. I grew up in a family and I had a mom that told me water and food is life, and you never deny a man water or food. This was a man who not only denied another person life, but beat them for asking for it. we can stop talking about the mindset of Henny. Well, why don't we start talking about the mindset of the master and what kind of sick, sadistic, satanic, sadomasochist he was? See, we don't talk about the mental health of the slave owners, the mistresses, or the children. We don't even talk about the abuse afflicted by some of the children in these situations. I'm going to talk my shit tonight. I don't care tonight. Because this really triggered me today. You're telling this story about a woman's life who lost her life over defending herself over sausage, as y'all would say. Let's say it was sausage. We'll go with sausage. Where's your empathy? Who wants to kill someone or die over food when you just want something to eat so you can actually go do your work duties? Let's move forward tonight, y'all. And you know, for any of y'all that have not subscribed to this YouTube channel, please go ahead and do so. Make sure you turn your notifications on so that you will be notified the next time that I go live or that we drop a video on here. Make sure you follow the Hoodoo and Chill podcast, the number one hoodoo in African-American-based spirituality-based podcast on all streaming platforms. And if you have not registered for our 8-week course coming up on March the 1st, Initiation into Spiritism, I implore you to do so. It is on the hoodooconjurework.com website or any one of the links in this podcast video or this podcast audio that you're listening to. I implore you to sign up. You get to spend 8 weeks with me. It's going to be awesome, and as well as enhance and grow your spiritual journey. So moving forward, I am now going to read to you guys some excerpts from this. But first, let's take a look at the Cambridge courthouse. Okay, I want you all to see where this all went down before I... So just so you can get a mental image in your head of where all of this transpired and where all of this took place, okay? So I'm going to show you guys a picture of the... this is the Dorchester County Courthouse, which is in Cambridge, Maryland. Now, if you look at the steps, okay, the steps, not the steps, but the doors, right, these three doors in the front, this is where they actually will bring slaves and auction them off at the courthouse. The same courthouse where they tried her for murder, this is the same courthouse where they would bring people and sell people. She probably was brought here and sold herself. So like a lot of Africans were sold right here on these steps in these corridors. And if you look at the fountain, this is where they held executions. So they sold slaves on the steps of the courthouse, and then they killed people down here around where the fountain is. This pretty little fountain here with the white angel, this is where they killed people. And then if you look over there at the steps where they have the little potted plants and stuff, that's where they sold Black people. Shout out to Dorchester. But anyway, let's keep going. Let's move forward. I am now, like I said, going to read portions of this excerpt from this article that I found from... this came out January the 18th, 1839. So this came out, what, 7 or 8 years after the events of this entire situation, all right? So brace yourselves and prepare yourselves for this. I'm just going to go ahead and read this to you as it is.
The Hoodoo and Chill podcast will return after this short ad break.
Thanks so much for listening to the show. If you like what you hear, guess what? We want to hear from you. Use one of the links in the description to join the official Hoodoo Conjure Rootwork Discord server. The Conjure Square group chat is totally free and open to all listeners. We want to know your thoughts and we want to hear your opinions. So again, use any link in the description to join the official Hoodoo Conjure Rootwork Discord server. I'll see you there. There are a few, if any at all, who can remember the murder of Mrs. Betsy Thompson Inslee near Vienna, this county, by her colored servant, Henny, in February 1831. And the trial, conviction, and hanging of the latter in Cambridge a few months later. The criminal annals of any other state can hardly surpass or equal. For that matter, this cruel, cold-blooded, revolting murder,
for the act smacks of that of a wild, infuriated beast, without a spark of feeling and compassion for its victim, who in this particular case was a woman in delicate health, and entirely unprepared and unable to protect herself from the assault of Blood Henny, as that colored woman was called after the murder. Henny, on the morning of the deed, complained and grumbled because she was not served sausage for breakfast. And Mr. Inslee, in turn, became angry and gave the woman a slight whipping. But before he left home for his usual daily duties, Henny told him he would be sorry for his treatment of her. However, he did not think or even imagine the remarks had any significance, and he left without thinking there was any evil working in Henny's mind. After Mr. Inslee had left, Henny, in spite and anger, dropped a link of sausage in the wash boiler, in which was the wash of the family. Mrs. Inslee mildly remonstrated with Henny for this act. When the colored woman threw a quart cup full of boiling lye in the face of her mistress, and then ran out to the wood pile and got the axe, and with one blow laid open the skull of Mrs. Inslee, who must have been writhing in the greatest agony, almost insensible from the scalding lye. The blow must have been terrific, as Mrs. Inslee's brain and blood were spattered on the floor, walls, and ceiling. But the beast's work was only partly completed. In her effort to conceal this crime, she hacked the body up and placed the pieces in a closet until she could make a better. In her efforts to conceal this crime, she hacked the body up and placed the pieces in a closet. After she had butchered Mrs. Inslee and mutilated and hidden the body, she sought Mr. and Mrs. Inslee's little girl, who was playing in the yard, and taking the child in her arms, as she had done many times before, Henny took the little girl to the woodpile. It was her full intention to butcher the child. It is said that some little good in the most depraved, the most cruel, and the most hardened, the way back in the deepest and remote part of the heart, there is a little, a very little of goodness. Now, was Henny's purpose, as stated above, to take the life of the child? The little girl's neck was on the chopping block, and Henny was in the act of the striking the blow. But the eyes of the little one fairly danced with innocence and delight. The smile broadened into childish laughter, unconscious of any harm. Though Henny made several attempts to let the axe come down and end the life of the child, yet evil as Henny was, with the blood of her mistress still on her hands, she could not withstand those happy smiles and twinkling eyes, all innocence, all faith, in all purity. The wild demonic fury of this beast gave way, and the child was spared. That was probably one of the hardest things that I've ever had to read. I'm gonna be honest with you. I've read a lot of stuff that's like very gut-wrenching, but that was like, can I just call out the lie? So this is what I don't understand. If she got beat for wanting a sausage because she was hungry, how would she have a sausage that she didn't eat and threw it in a boiling pot of lye? That makes no sense to me. Because if you're hungry, you're going to eat. If I just got beat for asking for a sausage and then I actually have one in my hand, I'm not going to throw it in a boiling pot of lye. That makes no sense to me. I'm a slave. I need to work. I need strength. What that makes no sense to me. So
I already have my guard up about this whole story that I don't believe all of this is true. I think a lot of this is BS, to be honest with you. But I'm just doing this because, like, this is what America has put out to the world. Oh, trust and believe you me. You can look this. You can't find any information on this court case, but it's her execution is documented in. But her case is documented in U.S. court archives. I mean, you can Google this information. I did. We'll get more into that later, though, right? The first lie here to me is the whole thing about the sausage. I don't even think it was sausage. I really think it was bread or something, because I'm just like, that makes no sense. If I had sausage in my hand, I'm not throwing it in the line. I'm hungry. Just got beat for it too. I'm going to eat this and I'm going to eat more. You crazy. So y'all cap. That's one. Two. Let's go here. The tone of that entire article just really just made me cringe, because I'm just like, one of the things that really stuck out to me was how they just the last ending part when they talked about the child and how she was supposed to be like this innocent angel of white purity and all this other type of stuff like that. This was the product of two human traffickers. Your mom and your dad were human traffickers, sweetheart. I'm sorry. Where's the purity in you? Love you. Sorry that you were born into this, but what? Where was the purity? Your mom and your dad were trafficking humans, and they made this child out to be some type of godlike angel. Now, am I condoning killing children? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. In no way, shape, or form. I'm just trying to get you guys to see the mess that they put out in the media as it relates to us as people, Black people, and then this woman's story. I don't think that all of this was true. This is something like this is clearly something y'all came up with. Let's go back to in the article, because I'm using the words that y'all put out. The master gave her a slight beating. Wait a minute. This was a man beating another woman, and we watered this down to a grown man beating another grown woman to a slight beating. Okay. Once upon a time, I mean, and still upon this time, people are sick, you know? The stuff that our ancestors grew up being indoctrinated with, not even just our Black ones, but our white ones too. The stuff that you guys had to grow up being indoctrinated with, I mean, it only makes sense for some of the actions that were committed, because they were normalizing this in not only regular life, but in media. And I love how when I grew up, when we were talking about, like, you know, slavery and stuff like that, they always made the North out to be like this Mecca. But here we have a whole story of abuse, human trafficking, and it's a story that comes from Maryland. That's the North. That's not the American South. If you guys can see, this is why that lady's video really just triggered me, because I'm just like, did you read this article or did you not read this article? And if you did read this article, did you read it with any type of empathy? Like, stop telling Black stories of trauma, abuse, rape, human trafficking. If you're gonna have a biased opinion about it, just please just stop telling our stories. We don't need you to tell our stories. We can tell our own stories, because you can't feel what we feel. You're not gonna see it through the lens that we see it through. And that really just burns me up, because it's like, where are my people doing their research? Where are my people out here pushing out the content that we need so that we can know more stories? I never knew nothing about this woman until doing research on someone else. And I'm going to put out the author that put me on to this woman, and she's Black too. So I'm going to do something very, very special for her, at least take the opportunity to utilize this platform to reach out to her, because I think it's worth it. I mean, hopefully she responds to me. I don't know. You know, I just really do push for us as people of color to start telling our own stories, putting out our own material, because at least when we do it, we can do it from a place of empathy. We can understand what that person was going through. We can put ourselves in their shoes. And I don't have a problem with white people, but y'all can't. You can't tell a story of an African-American or an African slave. You can't do it, because it's not something that your people ever could conceptualize. You can't do it. You can tell the historical evidence, I guess, if you do, you know, whatever, but you cannot sit there and tell these type of stories for us and just please stop doing it. I don't have a problem with y'all, but just please stop doing it.
it makes you look really, really bad. And if you feel like you're the person that's supposed to put out this story, then why don't you talk to another Black person or someone from that area who can help you or at least have a portion of this too? Because like, I'm being real, it makes y'all look really bad. And I'm a person that loves everybody. I don't care about color that much. But when it comes, when it's time to speak up, I'm going to speak up. I'm never going to not speak up. As we move forward, and shout out to everybody that's here tonight and just watching and listening. I really appreciate y'all. Like, I really do appreciate all of the love and support on this because I love doing these lives, you know? I want to do more. So let's go back to the article, and we're going to read the ending part of this article where they talk about her execution, okay? So before we do this, let's sip from our cups of water, wine, or spirits. Ashe and amen. In June following, Henny was hung in Spring Valley. People from all sections of Dorchester County came to Cambridge and witnessed the execution. There was no scaffold erected. Two forked poles were placed in the ground, and in the fork of each was laid a pole. A yoke of oxen was driven directly under the horizontal pole. Henny manacled, placed in the cart, a noose around her neck, an end of the rope thrown over the pole, and made fast. A bunch of blades were placed in a few yards ahead of the oxen, and hence when the steers walked away to taste the feed, a most natural thing, Henny was left hanging without support. She said a few minutes before being executed, that she wished to admonish all those who are cursed with a hot, quick, vindictive temper not to allow their passions to get the better of them, and that to spare the rod would ruin the child. What good advice this is, even though it comes from a wretch. And that was below the animal. She was put on a bold and stout heart until the last moment. But these things are not to be marveled in the lest. In her case, as she was a hardened wretch with a low order of intelligence. Dear white people, you tortured the woman because typically when people were hung, they just built gallows and you were hung and almost, you know, dead instantly. But they put this woman, they built a contraption to make this woman suffer. They put her on this scaffold and they put like two oxen or how many oxen in front of her, and they coaxed the oxen to move forward. And as the oxens were slowly moving forward, it would pull on the noose around her neck. Do y'all know how long in all day that would take for someone to die? This woman was left hanging like that for hours, if not all day. So we're condoning torture, abuse, domestic violence, human trafficking, as well as racism. Let's just call it for what it is. Because, you know, she did what she did. We're not going to take away from a murder of a person. She did what she did. But they call this woman stupid, a person of low intelligence. And then they said that she was lower than an animal. And how many times in that article was she related to as a beast? A beast. I mean, again, her story needs to be told with some empathy. I'm not condoning the murder. You know what I'm trying to say? But at the end of the day, when you are a slave, when you're being human trafficked, I mean, is it truly murder or is it justice or is it just you trying to get free? You know what I'm trying to say? Like, in today's day, if somebody was being a slave to somebody else and they murdered their captor, they would never go to jail. They'd be all over the news as a hero. As a hero today. But this woman, you know, a few hundred years ago, she was murdered for murdering her captors who had her captive since she was a child and were starving her, beating her and starving her. She murdered them and then she got killed for that. America is the greatest place in the world, right? There is no happy ending in this story, unfortunately. The happy ending in this story is that we as Black people can heal her spirit. We can venerate her and heal her soul, because for so many years she's been a joke. She's been a ghost. You know what I'm trying to say? And if she is, y'all deserve it. If she is a ghost, y'all do deserve it. I'm gonna tell you that right now. But I ask for healing on her spirit, because I feel like there were a lot of lies and a lot of just like, there's a lot of things in this story that they didn't tell us. There's a lot of things that people put out that they want you to believe. And to be honest with you, this is such a little known story that I don't even understand why more people don't know about this. This is very big. This comes from the same town that Harriet Tubman lived in. We should know about this, but they don't want to talk about this in history, what you guys did to Miss Henny. You know, Miss Henny, I only could just offer your mind peace and your soul peace, your spirit peace. And I don't agree with murder. I don't agree with violence, but I can offer you empathy and love today, and that you were placed in a situation that, I mean, you never got an opportunity to just get a chance to just walk outside as a free person and smell the air and just be free. If your spirit is listening, which I feel like it is, because you jumped up. I don't think that this was by coincidence. I just hope that you picked me to lift you up, to release you, because you didn't deserve that. And I don't believe this story. I think there's more to it. We may never know, but Miss Henny, I'm on your side. I'm taking your side with this one. I don't even think you did anything to the child, to be honest with you. I think that was fabricated or something that they put into that article to give it just like something for people to read. You know what I'm trying to say? And white people that listen to my podcast, again, I have no issue with y'all. Y'all know we cool. But stop doing it. Stop telling our stories and stop doing this unsubconscious thing where y'all is like taking up for each other when you know you wrong. When you know you wrong. When you know it was wrong. Let me rephrase my words. When you know it was wrong. Stop doing that, because a lot of y'all do it. Don't realize that you're doing it. And this is coming from a person. I don't have no internal issue with y'all. Okay? I'm not the person that's going to come on here and throw y'all under the bus all the time. I'm trying to help you today. Stop doing that. It makes you look bad as a person when some of y'all are really good people. Because all I see is a group of people trying to take up for something that was just morally wrong. Take up for a woman who was just trying to take up for herself, who had nothing. We don't know about her kids. We don't know about her life. We don't know. All we know is that this was an angry Black woman who killed her mistress because she couldn't get sausage. That sounds so stupid to me. It don't even sound right. That is not what happened. And if she did, y'all were starving her. Period. I know I might have triggered you, but hey, sometimes we need to be triggered to do the right thing. Sometimes we need to be triggered to know about our history. Please continue to support the Hoodoo and Chill podcast. Please continue to support this YouTube as it grows. It cannot grow without you. So please like, please share, please leave a comment. Come back and rewatch this video, okay, to help me get some views. Listen to the Hoodoo and Chill podcast. All of this is free. Y'all don't have to pay for this, okay? But if you do want to send a donation of love, we appreciate you too. And that is truly what keeps us on the air. All of our supporters who monthly and weekly send us donations of love. We love you so much, and we couldn't do this without y'all. We love you so much, and we look forward to this podcast growing, this YouTube growing. There's so many things happening in the future. As always, my people, I know it is Monday night. I want you all to walk in prosperity this week. I want you to walk in love, peace, prosperity, and protection. I want you all to help me tell our own stories. You know, those of y'all that are content creators, spiritualists, with YouTubes and all of that. I know y'all listen to the podcast. I know y'all watch me, you know, but help me, you know, put out some stories that a lot of us don't know, you know, help us change the narrative of what's being told about us, you know, because if we can take our history into our own hands, we can change the world. With that, my people, I bless you. I bless your hands. May they become like the Midas touch. My everything that you touch may materialize, may manifest as if it were gold. I send you out in so much protection, love, and light today, my people. And with that, I release you into the atmosphere.
Thanks for listening to the Who Do and Chill podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating and let us know how much you enjoyed the show. As always, donations of love keep our podcast alive and give us the ability to enhance our content. Please use one of the donation links in the description to send a donation of love today. And we'll see you on the next episode of Who Do and Chill.